carrying with it themes of just hunting through the Amazonian rainforests and finding all manner of wonderful creatures and life forms, etc. Much Emma Tinson as we might find all manner of wonderful stalls and stands at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society showground on Friday.
Yes, very excited.
All sorts of things in there. And who should actually sort of be online now to actually share with us some of the excitement of the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair that's coming up again for a fantastic time. Well, it has to be the truly legendary soul that is Sally Mundy. Yes, we've remembered your name, Sal. Isn't that nice?
Hello.
Oh, the time she came in. In fact, Sue and Emma, you were there. Yeah. Could I remember her? No, I couldn't. Well, sure. And she said, I'll get you for that, left cheek, she said. But no, she's joined us on the show, and that's fantastic stuff. And nice to see that Fionn Hele and Penny Evans have connected on Facebook as well. So that's joyous from that sort of point. We won't share their conversation, but, you know, a very special voyage to Vancouver. That's the sort of message that was out there. We feel as though we're putting people together across the airwaves, including, of course, our now official Norwich aficionado friends, Barry and Jackie. Maybe our second name for them there.
Yeah. Hook.
Hook,
Hooks.
Of course.
Hooks.
Hooks. Exactly. Hooks, as in hook with the plural.
That's the one.
There you go. So let's move on, Sally, because, as I say, the excitement that not only Emma, but also Jessica, and maybe even Ed Wellman might be feeling at this time, although he's going to come along later. Being Ed, he's cool these days, he's fashionably late.
He's cool and hip, right. In with his sunglasses.
This is exactly. We'll be doing that. What can people actually expect? Obviously, over the weekend, when for me, as I said, and I'll say it again, Christmas really starts. Forget that Christmas market for the moment. Consider the food and gift fair. Over to you, Sally. What's happening?
Well, we've got an action-packed couple of days ahead of us this weekend. Really, really excited. We like to think of it as Christmas under one roof, really. It's a completely indoor event. So we've got over 150 food and gift stands spanning two buildings. We've got open craft workshops. We've got a full 2 days of cookery demonstrations. We've got 2 days of entertainment from local community choirs. So really, really exciting sort of couple of days ahead, really.
Are the police coming to escort you at present?
I do apologise. Where I live is just a bit on the 999 route.
Well, I love the fact that Midweek Drive actually likes to keep you appraised of the whole thing, but we don't normally actually have police sirens following through the whole thing.
I do apologise. That's one thing I can't get rid of, but I promise you they're not coming to arrest me. Well, I hope not, anyway.
Bit of a shock if it was. Never mind, Sal. We'd support you. That's the important thing. I mean, you've been with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society now for a few years, not too many.
Yeah, nearly 5 years now.
Gosh, seems like only yesterday.
I know.
It's astounding. And it just seems to be getting better and better, not just bigger, as you'd expect, but also it's growing. I mean, you seem to be getting your confidence in kind of events like this, where, you know, I recall the initial times we're thinking, well, shall it work, etc. But it's become a fixture in the calendar, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very much out there as an annual event in the public domain, which is absolutely great. And it seems to grow year on year, which is absolutely fantastic. And obviously each year after the event, we're looking at ways for it to evolve for the following year. So adding something new each year, working with different cookery demonstrators and chefs, and introducing new workshops. And every year, you know, we are delighted that we have all our sort of local foodie stands who support us, which is great, and it means we can celebrate everything that's great and good about Lincolnshire produce. But we also attract each year different stands from further away, whether they be food or craft or gifts or home interiors, whatever. But there really is, honestly, there's something for everybody this year. It is Christmas under one roof, and I think I'd be safe to say that you could do all your shopping for your Christmas dinner on Christmas Day and all of your Christmas present shopping as well. So there is.
Does that sound like a good deal for your first official location report, Emma?
Fantastic. And Sally, I think it's great that it's an event that is so good for the local community as well, and it really brings everyone together. So
absolutely. And as I say, you know, it is obviously all about our exhibitors and that sort of thing, and the members of the public that come along. But it's great to be able to work with local community groups as well, so local choirs and smaller sort of craft organisations who are offering open drop-in workshops throughout the weekend, as well as the opportunity for them to sell their homemade, handmade gifts as well. So it is fantastic.
As a Lincolnshire lass from Skegness, Sue Royce, obviously you sort of shared the whole range of things. This is something which is relatively new, but your thoughts on this event?
I think it's fabulous that the facility, because it is an amazing facility now at the showground, is just used for so many different purposes.
It's epic, isn't it? Really?
It is epic. Yes, it is literally epic. Yes, it is. Yeah, and you know it's great that an event can bring people in from all over the place and showcase what we've got to offer in Lincolnshire.
And we have a lot, even for people in Norwich. I just want to raise that. You know, I know there's good things in Norwich, but you know, we did manage that. I mean, Nick, the sort of the whole country festival. I mean, obviously, you have good things happening in Norwich as well from that point of view. Does this kind of sort of float your boat in terms of Christmas under one roof?
Well, I'm a big Christmas fan. Everything to do with it, it's great.
And we'd like to say happy Hanukkah as well, of course. You know, other festivals are available, or even happy holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, just want to make that point, really, you know. I mean, you don't have to sort of, you know, it's a line, people have their beliefs, and we respect them, so let's work through that. Anyway. Well, that was our obviously our religious entertainment news. For more of that, check out Siren Lifestyle with Craig Wiley, which comes in about half an hour from now. I'm sure we'll be talking about all sorts of things, but not Christmas, perhaps. Sally, are tickets still available for the general public, or is it a case of come along on the door and you will come along on Saturday and tell us the dates and the time? Well, we know the dates. It's this weekend. People want to come along. What are the hours? When can they actually come in? How can they pay the eight? What are the details?
Details are, yes, advance tickets are still available. So advance tickets are £5 and under 16s are free. Tickets are available through our website still for collection from our ticket office on arrival, or also through Ruddocks on the High Street, Noah Noah in the Balegate, and Uncle Henry's Farm Shop up the A15. Or alternatively, people can just come along and pay on the day as they arrive, so which is £6 on the day. Ample car parking, which is free, and we're open to the public between 10 and 4 on Saturday and Sunday.
There are people possibly listening in Los Angeles, yes, Phil Lewis, I mean yourself, who might be sort of pondering over that question we put in the first part of the programme, as in there are two kinds of customer, the living and the dying, that a bartender sort of gets, or indeed the classic, tango, you old devil, you. But I'm sure even those quotes kind of pale by the little line you actually gave us a few moments ago, Sally, when you actually said, Uncle Henry's just off the A15, which sounds so quaint and British in its own way. Uncle Henry's
it's a great little place.
Exactly.
It's a must go.
Siren was there, etc. The coffee costs a bit, but never mind. Apart from that, it's all wonderful. You know, so that's great. A little name check for Uncle Henry's. Sally, it's been fantastic touching base with you yourself. Telephonically, I think this is your first official telephonic link. I know you've been with us in the studio.
It is. I've been down into studio several times, but this is my first, telephone interview, complete with Siren.
Yeah.
Nice. And that's why Sally is an ace character having marketing. You know, it's the sort of thing that Amelia will sort of benefit from. Jane Southall, of course. Is Jane going to be there? Is she going to grace us with her presence?
Yes, Jane will be there all weekend. It's a full team effort. Obviously, we're a fairly small team at the showground, but and we all have our different roles. But when it comes to food and gift and the Lincolnshire show, we are one team, and we'll all be on hand during the weekend, and look forward to seeing you all from Siren FM.
Well, there we are, you see. Amelia Chambers will be around as well. It's fantastic. Just a round of applause, please, for Sally Mundy.
Yay.
Keeps it real. And just for Emma Tinson's flatmate.
How does she know you love her? How does she know she's yours?
How does she know that you love her?
How do you show her you love her?
How does
she know? That's how you know. That's how you know
he's your love. He's your love. That's how you know he loves you. That's how you know it's true.
It's
So, Emma Tinson, you've got to actually explain why we're doing these Disney featurettes for your flatmate and so on. Just tell the tale, spill the beans.
Well, my lovely flatmate Laura is in love with Disney, like literally crazy about it.
He did die in 1965.
Well, the Disney franchise.
There you go.
And she applied to be an employee at the Disney theme park in America. And unfortunately, they told her that she was too tall to be a Disney princess.
Aww.
And could only be Goofy, which is a bit of a punch in the gut, to
could
be honest.
Only be Goofy.
Only Goofy.
But yet, your good self.
I am the perfect height to be a princess, which I was really pleased about.
Yeah, you see, these are the conundrums that only can be solved by Amy Adams, and indeed, as Penny Evans would say, enchanting. Enchanted. That's fantastic stuff. But the magic continues evermore now, because who's been celebrating their birthday this week who might be able to put us out of our misery with respect to what exactly does this actually come from and how it emerges? Who could it be, Sue Royce? Who could it possibly be?
I haven't got the faintest foggiest clue.
No faintest foggiest clue.
No, not at all.
Who do you think it might be, Emma Tinson?
I think it might be the person...
The person?
Who... owns Fuzz Aldrin.
The person owned by Fuzz Aldrin. Yeah, who would that be then?
Is it Phil Leonis?
Is it Phil Leonis? Tangle! Tangle, you old devil, you! Phil Leonis, welcome to the Midweek Drive.
I'm tired of being responsible for 203 lives, and I'm tired of deciding which mission is too risky and which isn't, and who's going on the landing party, and who doesn't, and who lives.
Tired,
who died.
Tired to the point of taking my advice and going on a rest leave.
Oh boy! You know what? You take it away and you give it, Alex, in that order, because I'm riding high on the joy of having celebrated such a crowd pleasing birthday yesterday, and then you take the joy away by playing an Amy Adams song. But then you give it right back by allowing me to quote The Cage, the original pilot episode of Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek.
And
thank
indeed,
you,
the one that actually, just after Thanksgiving Day in 1964, was the first ever scene to be filmed. And we've just quoted it, you know, from Jeffrey Hunter's Christopher Pike and indeed the Doctor at the time, who was played, of course, by Phil.
Oh, Paul Fix?
Yes. No, it wasn't. Paul Fix actually took over for Where No One Has Gone Before, Where No Man Has Gone Before, the first Kirk thing. That was, it was before, actually, even Paul Fix actually took on board the line. We'll leave it at that, you know, we might return to the whole thing. But yes, that was the first ever scene that was actually filmed in the canon that was Star Trek. The Doctor and Christopher Pike, of course, and the classic line, of course, the man either lives life head-on, meets it face-on, or he turns his back on it and begins to wither away. So
I can't remember who. I know it was Dr. Boyce, but I cannot remember the actor's name. It was
Dr. Boyce. We will find that out. Actually, we'll sort of set the scene and address it. But meanwhile,
let me say this: there is a way out of any cage, and I'll find it.
Exactly.
That's all I want to.
Exactly.
Okay, that was fun, boy. That was. That was good. Role playing fun. You know, I stopped role-playing in live-action Star Trek games, you know, when I became 44.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice throwback to my younger days.
John Hoyt.
Oh, very nice. Very well played.
You see that?
Yeah.
You see? Okay. Never give up, never surrender. Thanks to Titan magazines and a whole range of things. And, of course, the classic line that Herb Solo actually insisted on saying to NBC's executives at the time when they were worrying a little bit about the series, I'm not leaving this room until we have a deal. Obviously, it's a line you should take, actually, Phil. You know, I'm not leaving this room until we actually have a deal. So that's the sort of classic line. In terms of the actual numbers game for The Cage, it was finally sort of sent together. They were substantially over their budget, the whole.
You know, I said the same thing. I used to always say that to my parents. I'm not leaving this room until we have a deal.
Yeah.
And I found it
nice to have the choice.
I found it never worked. They would just They would just get up and leave the room. So it wouldn't.
Before we seek the Lena's view on the show, I'll just fill you up. It was actually shot on stages 14 to 15 and 16 at Desilu Culver Studios, Culver City. The total pilot budget was $451,000, $451,503 North American dollars, which is equivalent to $3.47 million in 2014. That was the budget, but they went over budget to $615,000, which was equivalent to $4.0 million. So they were only about a million over. It's all very good.
And, you know, and I think, you know, you mentioned Desilu. I mean, this just, to me, always bears repeating. You know, Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, I mean, as if just having done I Love Lucy wasn't enough to cement their place in the firmament of the most influential stars Hollywood ever produced. You know, you're talking about, we don't have Star Trek if it's not for them. We don't have multi-camera shoots. They invented the multi-camera technique of shooting. I mean, the contributions they made down and down. At one time, Desilu owned just the couple, Lucy Arnaz and Desi Arnaz. They owned more sound stages in Hollywood than any of the major studios. That's how prolific, how powerful, how successful they were. Exactly. It's extraordinary. And like I said, if all they'd ever done was I Love Lucy, that's more than enough.
So celebrate and rejoice on the West Coast of America, because it's not so much Thanksgiving, although you can give thanks for the fact that Star Trek was shooting its first ever scene, the aforementioned link between the Doctor and the Captain. Without, of course, William Shatner or DeForest Kelly, they came in later, but that's where it all started.
Wow. Hey, you, Fuzz Aldrin just came over and pounced on me and whispered a little something in my ear.
Really?
Which was taking a grave exception to two things you said. The first thing you said was he, then you corrected yourself and said she, and then said whatever. Like gender identification doesn't matter. I hope you're a little more sensitive to your students.
No, he's not.
But
he's
the not. Other... The other thing you said was, I'm Fuzz Aldrin's owner, and nothing, as any cat person can tell you, could ever be farther from the truth. The cat chooses the person, not the other way around.
Exactly, yes. You are Fuzz's person.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sounds like fuzzy logic to me.
she started purring. She started purring, and then as soon as Alex's pun, it all came
through.
So, Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Richard Edwards, Michelle Monroe, Fien Heel, Sally Monday, and now if you're Leon, it's up to yourself to reflect on the show, which of course incorporates the joys of Nick Elliott, Kat, Emma Tinson, and Sue Royce. Jessica's playing netball. Do you think she's won, Emma?
I don't know. I mean, the last few weeks have been slightly unsuccessful.
Bit tense. Yeah, still, never mind.
We can hope.
It's a taking part. We'll find out
tomorrow morning.
Yeah, midweek drive morning edition. And Holly Parker's poorly, so get well soon, Holly.
Aww.
And we don't have enough oxygen for anybody else to come in, so that's fine. But anyway, what points would you like to make, Phil Leonis? And did you receive your birthday e-card that I sent? Belatedly, admittedly, but it should have actually winged its way.
I have received it. I have received it, and I have yet to even open it. I mean, look, this episode of the Midweek Drive has been spent. I've listened, and I've spent it in its entirety responding to a very lovely birthday greeting that I got. But how I do it, Alex, is I respond to the people who wished me a happy birthday on time before I get to those. Belatedly.
The time lag is,
you know, what
it's the time difference, Phil. You've got to put that into account.
This guy's a funny man.
How often Dean Haglund has used exactly those words every week on the Chilpack Hollywood Hour. It's amazing. You know, still, there you go.
You know, I actually have a question because, you know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I've told you before how it's really my favorite of all the American holidays because it's a day all about gratitude. It's really quite lovely. You know, we're all is asked of you is to be grateful. So I find that it really, people are on their best behavior, and it's until they go shopping on for Black Friday and fight each other for the sales. But the other thing is, it's a holiday here that hasn't been able to be monetized, marketed, exploited for commercial gain, really in any way. So it's just really touching and lovely. And I know that Canada has their Thanksgiving, but I'm wondering, is there any day in the UK that is about this concept of gratitude and expressing and sharing gratitude?
No.
We're all
because we're British, no, and we're proud of it. And if anything else, when we actually abandon Empire Day, in which the Empire should be grateful to the British for actually looking after the world, you know, we clearly felt there was nowhere else to go on that basis. I will actually, on a slightly different note, flag up something that's happening next week, Phil, which you might have an interesting insight into, because it has been confirmed that on Wednesday, December the 3rd, 10 a.m. in Los Angeles, we will be speaking to Kate Hilliard, who's the vice president for the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association. She'll be talking about LA Zoo Lights. So, yeah, we are going to the zoo.
Wow.
We're going to the Los Angeles Zoo.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, just yesterday, my co-host in podcasting, Dean Hagman from The X-Files, was at the Los Angeles Zoo. He has a friend there who is a docent who gives tours, and so he was availing himself of the opportunity for a VIP tour. And just last week, I was exploring the abandoned location of the old Los Angeles Zoo, which is less than a mile away. It's in a canyon. It was abandoned in 1965. All the structures are there, but it is this amazing locale, and you can hike through it. All the lion dens are there, the reptile houses, the cages, and they are all up on this mountain in this canyon, and they're being taken back over by the woods. So it's this very cool, creepy kind of ghost town. And I took my goddaughter, who is 8 years old, on a little hike up there, and Lily Holloman, and I scared the heck out of her. So it was good fun.
Exactly.
That's evil.
No, it's just a bit too quiet. It's a cat's paw, you know? Cat's paw thing from that point of view. And it's not an alien from another dimension, but still, life continues. Penny Evans will actually say, we are cat's owners and slaves, end of. And as for Disney, well, she does come out with a line, but I won't use it because it's good. Penny, we appreciate that. Anyway.
Can I just say, my flatmate Laura has just texted me saying, you are shocking. So I think she's listening and she didn't want me to tell people that she wanted to be goofy. So I just want to say it again. She's too tall to be a princess. But you are. And I am perfect.
Put on the dog suit.
Look, as we'd like to say on the Midweek Drive to people who worry about Goofy, let it go. Let it go.
Brilliant.
Sorry, Phil.
Alex, did you say that it was a real punch in the gut to her when she did not
Oh, that's what I said.
Oh, you said. Okay. Yeah, well, that actually is how Disney tests your height. It's where the punch lands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, life continues in its own merry way. Before we ask the universe for its thoughts on the magic that has filled in us, anywhere else you'd like to go? I mean, it was nice to hear from Fiend Heal, I felt. Can you offer a job, by the way?
Can I offer Fiend a job?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean...
She cycles well. She's available.
By job, if we mean unpaid internship, of course.
Oh,
wow, that was not as funny as I intended it.
Believe you me, it's everyday speech over here.
Yeah, life, don't talk to me about
intern,
life.
Do something for nothing. Welcome
it's,
to the
yeah,
UK.
It's always, I mean, you know what, I don't know a lot about how to advise people on their career path, but I do know that looking to independent filmmakers for well-paying jobs, probably not your best bet.
Fair point.
Globally.
It'll happen. That's the important thing. Sue, any thoughts from yourself that you'd like to sort of raise with Phil? Or issues or...
Well, fresh from your birthday celebrations, what have you got on for this week?
It's Thanksgiving and I'm cooking. We're hosting.
This is an important point because actually it is a big deal, you know, despite the fact that we might pour scorn on why would they actually wish to give thanks for getting rid of us guys across the other Atlantic. Why don't they actually invite some Native Americans to actually do more than just be stereotypes in the sort of line of actually there, you know? Why don't they actually maybe do some sort of general gun control lessons for some of their police enforcement officers?
Oh, no!
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what's really weird, though, is that although we don't celebrate Thanksgiving over here. This year, a lot of retailers are doing Black Friday.
Yeah.
And so we're sort of taking the discount offers, but not giving the thanks, which is really bad.
Strange
really.
As it may seem, we have a feature tomorrow with psychologist Jo Hemmings exactly all about Black Friday.
One year, Dean and I and Lily were in Vancouver, British Columbia, at the time of Thanksgiving, or as they call it, their Thursday. Not really a big deal for them, because they celebrated a month earlier, but they do. Black Friday is a really big thing there for shopping for the holiday season. But Canada, and especially that part of Canada, has none of the big box stores that we have here in the States. So we were warned when we were going to be leaving British Columbia to head back to Washington State on Friday that we had better leave super early to catch our flight out of Seattle, because tens of thousands of people would be heading from Vancouver down into Washington State to do their Christmas shopping, and because of the border check, it was going to be backed up for hours. There was going to be no traffic moving, because, of course, you know, the Border Patrol would be asking questions of everyone. It would be really slow going, and they were right about the tens of thousands of people. They were right about the cars, but what they were wrong about was it's the easiest experience I've ever had getting across any border, because U.S. Border Patrol was literally standing to the side, just waving people in. You know, I could almost hear them. I could almost hear them yelling, "Are you coming here to shop? Okay, fine. We need your money. We need your money. Come on in." It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was crazy. There was no border security at all. Just please come in and spend your money.
I'll cite the latest update from Penny Evans, because we missed out a couple of times last week because of computer-based things. She also gets unpaid work, but at least singing in open mic nights is fun and makes folk happy. Penny, I like to feel the show does the same to some extent, you know. all great stuff. We keep it on a voluntary. We keep it real. That's the important thing. Nick, would you like to give me a number between 2 and 26, please?
Go for a 7.
Say no.
Two fat ladies, number 11.
This is the universe's message for Phil Leonis.
When in a hurry, step one for changing the entire world is falling in love with it as it already is. Same for changing yourself. You like the universe.
Here we are. Hopefully we'll feature Mike again before the end of the year as well. It's high time we actually sort of sorted that thing through. So, Phil, would you like to actually do the rounds and ask the team how they found the show on this, the last ever Wednesday midweek drive for November 2014?
Wow, that's a lot of pressure. seeing as how you make it the last ever. Yeah. Yes, I'll do that, although, you know, programming note, I think what you really ought to look into doing is just producing a Penny Evans podcast, where after each midweek drive, she shares with us her thoughts about the show. I think that would be a great wrap-up each week. Assembled co-presenters and august studio personages, how did you find the final show of November 2014?
Fabulous, Phil. Great talking to you again.
Yes, I very much enjoyed it as well, Phil.
And they've actually done two shows today, because we did a Christmas special, yes, which you can hear on Christmas Eve, 24th of November, December. Let me just get the date right. It happens the same every year. You know, where are we going from? And that will, of course, be the official launch of Sound and Nick's Vision, where Nick actually takes us through a whole variety of bits and pieces, etc. But keep going. We've got Paul McCartney in the background. Worry not. Phil, just talk over him.
Well, Alex, as it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, I would be remiss if I did not say that I'm truly grateful for your friendship and for the opportunity to join you every week. It is a genuine blessing, and I could not enjoy it more, and I look forward to many more wonderful conversations.
Aww. Aww. Oh, a round of applause.
That brought a tear to my eyes.
Nick, have you enjoyed the show?
Very much so.
Kat?
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
We are, as opposed to repeating, which is a digestive
exactly.
thing. Never mind. So as we said, coming up, we hope you do listen, actually, because it is radio. After all, if you don't listen, what's the point? But we have Craig Wiley, writer of Smiley, back up after the news at 7 o'clock. To Nick Elliott, to Kat, to Emma Tinson, and to Sue Royce, many thanks indeed to you, dear listener. Keep on giving on where you happen to be. And certainly to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Richard Edwards, Michelle Munro, Fiena Heal, Sally Mundy, and, of course, Penny Evans and the team and all the rest of its pieces. And, of course, Barry and Jackie Hooks. Yay! Exactly. Keep Norwich the flag flying there. And, of course, to Phil Leonis, thank you. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye. See you again soon. We'll be right back.